Take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms tonight. I just want to stop tonight before I get started and say God is good. Sunday night, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this to Brother John. I may have mentioned it to Brother Don. He was here Sunday night. But I really felt like there was something that I should have mentioned at the end of the service, and I kind of felt like I was going out incomplete, so to speak. And we've been in Psalms chapter number 4, and we're looking at the thought, stand in awe and sin not. And I don't normally say much about this, but I would say that if you weren't here Sunday, you really ought to consider listening to the Sunday morning message and the Sunday night message. The Lord has something for us in that. I'm telling you, He's helping me, and I appreciate Him helping me in these days. The psalmist said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." Wanted to shout right there, thank God, because we wouldn't have no righteousness without Him. "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself." The Lord will hear when I call unto him. "Stand in awe and sin not, and commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. Selah." Let's have just a word of prayer, and I want to get into a little bit different avenue tonight with this, but I believe it's needed, and I believe it's exactly the reason that we finished up the way that we did on Sunday. Father, I thank you tonight for our people. Thank you, Lord, that we have access tonight into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that day when you died on that cross, that veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. Lord, you told us to come on in. You told us we could come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Father, I don't know if we've ever been in a greater time of need, both in our church and in our country, in our community. God, I pray tonight that you'd meet the needs, your precious people, and Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We kind of tried to give different examples, and I'm not going to go over all of them, but there's more coming, I will tell you that. But we gave different examples how that different men in the Bible at different times, and even the nation of Israel, stood in awe of the goodness of God. One of the first places I believe I looked cold is when God saved me. As soon as He saved me, I knew I was standing in awe of a holy God that had just washed me and made me just as holy as He was. Amen. And it blessed my heart. And then I went back in some Bible examples and looked at, talked about how, I never have thought about this, but how Adam must have felt, Brother Ike, when God put him to sleep and took that rib out. And then all of a sudden, Adam wakes up and there's Eve. You can say whatever you want to, but I believe that man stood in awe, say amen, of what God had done for him, and stood in awe of the God that had done it for him. And then we talked about Joseph, how that Joseph, even in the trials of life, had learned to stand in awe of the God of heaven. Therefore, he became a better man as a result of his trials and not a bitter man. Amen. And then Sunday night, I believe we talked about the children of Israel as they were backed up against the Red Sea, how that when God parted the sea, you can just see them looking and standing in awe as they go through the sea and the wall of water there and the wall of water there and dry land in front of them. I believe you can hear families and children saying, "Daddy, ain't this something? Daddy, have you ever seen anything like this before? Daddy, I thought we was dead." And they might have said, "Daddy, you said we was going to die." Amen. But God made them a way. Then we talked about Jericho, how they marched around Jericho and no doubt stood in awe. But there was one that took something that he wasn't supposed to take, and that was Achan, and buried it in his tent. How it cost the children of Israel down at Ai because one man refused to stand in awe. And then we talked about David. And that's where we left off Sunday night. We were talking about David and what happened there in the valley with the giant, how that David at that time in his life was standing in awe of the God of heaven. He knew that the same God that had delivered him from the lion, the same God that had delivered him from the bear, was fixing to deliver him from that giant, was down there in that valley, mocking the children of Israel and mocking the God of heaven. But there came a day when the kings went forth to battle that David was not standing in awe. He was on his bed when he should have been on the battlefield. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, this Bible teaches and preaches against laziness. Now, where I'm from, they had a different word. My dad called it sorriness. Amen. He'd say so-and-so, sorry, son. I've heard him say over and over, they wouldn't take a job in a pie factory tasting pies. You know what I mean? Now, that's pretty sorry. Amen. But David's up there on his bed. David looks down there and he sees Bathsheba. And we closed out with that story on Sunday night, how that David looked after her, lusted after her, sent for her. The servant said, is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And he sent for her anyway, slept with her. She gets pregnant, and now he's calling Uriah in off of the battlefield. You know the story, trying to cover up his sin. And then finally, at last, he gets Uriah killed. They go to the hottest part of the battle, and he gets Uriah killed. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 38 tonight. Psalm 38, I would love to get through this message tonight, but I'm not going to make you any promises unless you want to stay till about 9 o'clock. But I would love to get through it tonight. I really would. It's a wonderful, wonderful study and a wonderful thought. I'm going to give you three things tonight. If not tonight, in this message, God's put three things on my heart. Number one, there's a price to pay for not standing in awe. Number two, there's a pardon for those who fail to stand in awe. I believe David would say, hallelujah. I missed it. I messed up. But I met a God that will pardon and forgive. And then I want to give you this tonight. There's a practice for those who wish to continue to stand in awe. You remember on Sunday, and I'm recapping because there's people that were sick or working that weren't here Sunday. On Sunday, I tried to magnify this thought. Those who are standing in awe are not going to sin. And those who are sinning are not going to stand in awe. You can't do them both at the same time. I used a couple of examples. I said, if a man is standing in awe of his Savior, he's not looking over there at somebody else's wife. Amen. If a man is standing in awe, he's not trying to steal something or cheat somebody out of something. And on the other hand, beloved, if there's something going on, like with Achan, something buried in our tent that don't belong there. I didn't say this Sunday, so I'll go ahead and say it tonight. But you know what's buried in a lot of Christians' tent? God's money. The tithe is the Lord's. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have genuinely been born again who have never learned, amen, that's not mine, that's God's. And we really haven't given anything, amen, until we get past that. I believe that. You say, preacher, don't talk about my money. I'm not. I'm talking about His. The tithe is the Lord's. Beloved, I'll tell you something. The problem is this. We haven't figured out that we're the Lord's. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. I don't know who tithes and who don't, but I'll tell you what, God does. Say amen. You say, preacher, I don't know why you would say that to us. I want you to be blessed. He's going to bless those who obey Him. Amen. And tonight, there's a price to pay for not standing in awe. Standing in awe of the Savior. Look at Psalm 38 with me tonight. This is going to be so difficult. I got 30 minutes and 30 miles to go. But anyway, let's just get started. Amen. Psalm 38, there's a price to pay for not standing in awe. This is the same man. This is David. This is the same man that wrote Psalm chapter 4. And I want you to listen carefully, please. Oh Lord, he said, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me with thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. How many believes already just in two verses, David's done figured something out? There's a price to pay for not standing in awe. There's a price to pay for sin. That's what you could say it like that. I'm preaching on this standing in awe. But if we're not standing in awe, then we're sinning. To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I like what one preacher said. If I knew who said it originally, I'd give him credit. But I didn't say it originally, but he said this. He said, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. Think about that. We can choose to sin, but we cannot choose the consequences. I will say this tonight. We can choose not to stand in awe of our Savior, but we cannot choose the consequences of not standing in awe of our Savior. You say, preacher, I don't know why you're being so emphatic about this, because I don't want you to be saying the words that David are saying. I feel like a pincushion. There's arrows stuck in me everywhere. It's God that's displeased. You remember in Samuel, I believe it's 2 Samuel chapter 11, where David sinned with Bathsheba. You get to the last verse, David done everything, covered it up, and the Bible said, but the thing which David did displeased the Lord. God knows tonight. God knows tonight. He said, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of, somebody tell me what's that. Brother Ike, he ain't got his eyes on somebody else's sin. He's got his eyes on his own. By the way, beloved, that's where our eyes belong. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, David's in a strait. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt. I want you to look at these words. Because of what? Can I say to us tonight, listen to me and say it in compassion and in love. You and I that are saved by the grace of God are foolish not to stay in this Bible. Foolish not to talk to the God of heaven. Foolish not to stand in awe of the one that hung the stars in place and the sun in the sky and saved our never dying soul from hell. We're foolish tonight to run through life so fast that we don't have time for him. We're foolish. The Bible said here, I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. He said, I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. I was thinking about a scripture that said when our eyes have light, then the whole body's full of light. But if the eyes be dark, then the whole body is full of darkness. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They all seek after my life. They lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I am as a deaf man, I heard not. And I am as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I'm ready to, what's that next word? You all know what that means, don't you? You know when a person's going to repent? When they get ready to stop what they're doing. David said, I'm ready to halt. David, I'm just trying to get us to understand in Psalm chapter 38, he said in verse number 18, he said, I'm ready to halt. My sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sin. Listen, what we're studying about right here tonight is something called godly sorrow. The Bible said the sorrow of the world worketh death. Brother Wayne, you minister to those men in prison. There's two kinds of men in prison. Some that are sorry they got caught, and others that are sorry that they did it and want to turn from it. The Bible said godly sorrow worketh repentance. And I will say this. I believe that's true whether you're talking about a sinner that needs to be saved or a saint of God that needs to get right with God. I'll say this tonight. I didn't know this for years. I believe it's right. Beloved, every one of us believes that nobody's going to be saved unless the Spirit of God convicts that individual of their sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. I'm convinced tonight that not one child of God ever gets right with God with what the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that birthed us into the family, points out our iniquity and convicts us of our sin. When Nathan stood before David, and Nathan said, thou art the man, beloved, David wasn't looking at that like a man that was trying to tell him. He knew there was a God in that man that had his number. Amen. Sometimes when preachers preach, people get mad at the preacher. I'm going to tell you what, if he's in the book, you'd do well not to get mad at him. I said if he's in the book, you'd do well not to get mad at him. God's trying to help us. This old book will help us. He said, I'll declare my iniquity and I'll be sorry for my sin. There's a price to pay for not standing in awe. If I didn't do anything except read Psalm 38, I believe that would magnify that, don't you? Hey, listen, we could go over and read Psalm 51 and that comes in the next point. But you, even in Psalm 51, as David is getting right, you still see that there's a price to pay. You say, preacher, what did it cost David? Well, let me ask you this. How many of y'all realize that David had a deep, intense desire to build the house of God? How many remembers that? But Brother Stevie couldn't do it. You want to know why? Right here. He's a man of war. You say, preacher, why was he a man of war? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible said, after David sinned, the sword will not depart from your house. David could choose his sin, but David could not choose the consequences. Preacher, what kind of price had to be paid? Well, think about this. His baby died. From what I've been able to read, the baby was about 4 months old, and the baby died. Amnon rapes Tamar. Absalom kills Amnon. Absalom rebels against David, and then Absalom is killed. I'm telling you, just like a snowball. I'm not trying to be funny tonight. Not at all. But I wonder how many times in this process did David think these words, what in the world was I thinking? What was I doing? How could a man after God's own heart get in a place where he would not stand in awe of the God that picked him up out of the sheepfold and made him a king in Israel? What happened? Let me say this tonight. The Bible, we know that God gave us the whole Bible, and he wrote this Old Testament, the Word of God said, for our admonition, for our learning. I believe that the wise man learns from his mistakes. How many believes that? Let me tell you what a wiser man will do. Wiser than a wise man. He'll learn from the mistakes of others. He won't have to make it himself. He can just watch somebody else make it. And he'll learn from that. How many believes that tonight? I believe that's one of the reasons that sometimes it's not always this way. But sometimes if there's an alcoholic father, there's a child that won't touch a drop of alcohol because they see what it's done to the family. It's not always that way. But sometimes that child is wise and that child says, there's no future in this. There's nothing but torment. Nothing but grief. So tonight, the first thing in the message is there's a price to pay for not standing in awe. I have an illustration I want to share with you tonight. Gary Richman, he was a former zookeeper. He had this to say. He said, raccoons, I didn't know this either. I didn't know it, so I learned something. Raccoons go through a glandular change at a change in their glands at about 24 months. After that, they often attack their owners. Since a 30-pound raccoon can be equal to a 100-pound dog in a fight, I felt compelled to mention the change coming to a pet raccoon owned by a young friend of mine, Julie. She listened politely as I explained the coming danger. I'll never forget her answer. She said, it'll be different for me. And she smiled as she added, Bandit wouldn't hurt me. He just wouldn't. 3 months later, Julie underwent plastic surgery for facial lacerations sustained when her adult raccoon attacked her for no apparent reason. Bandit was released into the wild. Sin, too, often comes dressed in an adorable guise. As we play with it, how easy it is to say, it will be different for me. Baby David thought that day, I know this is not right, but after all, I'm the king. I don't know that he thought that. I don't know that he was thinking at all. Would somebody say amen? But it was no different. Sin. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The way I was able to remember that was LSD. Lust, sin, death. I always used to tell the men in prison, Brother Wayne, that's a trip you don't want to go on. Comes with a high price. And so tonight, the Word of God is teaching us plainly that there's a price to pay for not standing in awe. But secondly tonight, what I want to give you in the message is there is a pardon for those who have failed to stand in awe. Thank the Lord tonight. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go with me tonight to Psalms chapter 51. David in Psalm 51 is crying out to God. This is David's prayer of repentance. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. I've said this, and I believe it to be true. I believe it was a relief for David after keeping that bottled up for over a year. It was a relief to get it out, to confess it, to repent of it. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And beloved, I believe that's where we really get down to business with sin. David sinned against his own body. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against the nation of Israel. But when it's time to get right with God, the one he's concerned about is the one that he at one time had stood in awe of. And he wanted to stand in awe of him again. And he knew he was going to have to be cleansed in order to do it. He said that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Can I remind us tonight that this is not somebody down at the bar room that just fell off the bar stool. This is not somebody that just rolled up their sleeve and shot their arm full of drugs or just left the tattoo parlor. This is a man after God's own heart. I believe tonight we should tremble to think where we would be without him. What we would do without him. We'd destroy our lives, destroy our families, destroy our testimonies. We saw even with Achan, when God told Joshua there's sin in the camp. You remember God did not tell Joshua there's sin in Achan's tent. He said there's sin in the camp. I can't remember, Brother Steve, do you remember the number? Was it about 300 that died at that first trip out? And seems that's what's ringing the bell, but I don't know for sure. When they went out at AI, there was several men died. Or was it 30, 300? It was 3,000, thank you. I'll get there after a while, amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. 3,000 men had died because one man did not stand in awe. Got his eyes off of the Lord, did not fear God, did not reverence God and respect God's wishes that he told him not to take of the spoil, took the gold, took the garment, took the silver and buried it. You say, preacher, why is it important to say that he buried it? Because he knew it was wrong. It would scare us to death any given Sunday morning to know how many people are sitting on pews doing things that they know are wrong. Amen. They don't need a preacher. They don't even need a Bible. God gave them a conscience. Amen. And they know it's wrong. Ain't no preacher going to tell them what to do. A lot of teenagers, ain't no mother, ain't no father going to tell me what to do. How I thank God that I have a Heavenly Father that put some bounds around me. And said, son, if you go through the fence, you're going to get hurt. And you're going to hurt somebody else. Thank the Lord. David said, here, make me to hear joy and gladness. Oh, boy. Oh, glory. I'm telling you, God has gripped my heart with these words, stand in awe and sin not. Brother Colter, the Lord got me in the last few days where I don't need anything but a blue sky. It doesn't even have to have a bird flying in it or a cloud in it. My father did that. That's the way I'm going one day. Stand in awe. David had not heard joy, had not heard gladness for some time. He said that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, let me get back to that place where there's nothing between me and you. I can stand in awe of your glory. Stand in awe of your power. Stand in awe of your presence. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, well, preacher, didn't David know? No, no, listen, this is a different economy in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, beloved, the Spirit of God would come upon a man and empower a man. and the Spirit of God could leave a man. You see that in the life of Saul. And David knew, Brother Gary, that he had messed up. But he said, oh God, I need to be cleaned up. And I don't want you to take this anointing off of my life. I'm going to tell you what every man of God, Coulter, if I don't say this for anybody else, I say it for you, there ought to be a fear. I'm talking about a fear that God would set you up on a shelf somewhere and render you, beloved, useless in the ministry. All it takes is one bad decision. Brother Steve, you're a lot older than Brother Coulter, and I'm older than you. All it takes. It don't take a week of not standing in awe. As far as I can tell, it was a day. One day. And you can't say the name of David now. Sure, you think about Goliath, I do. Sure, you think about Solomon, I do. Sure, you think about the battles, I do. Sure, you think about when God was looking for a king, he wasn't looking on the outward appearance, he was looking on the heart. I think of those things. But I'm going to tell you what, you won't study the Bible long, you won't hear preaching long, until you're going to get to that negative day, that dark day. And I believe God put it in the Bible to remind us, to help us. David's getting right with God. There's a pardon. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways. You know what I believe? I believe David, when he's getting right with God, he's wanting to stand in awe again because he knows this. When he's standing in awe, it's having an effect on everybody that's standing around him. If I'm standing in awe, somebody else is going to see the difference that he made in my life. Is this making any sense? I hope it is. I hope it is. There's a price to pay for not standing in awe. There's a pardon for those who have failed to stand in awe. I believe I might get through this. Y'all prayed for a miracle, didn't you? I know one thing. Somebody prayed for me last night. I had liberty last night that I did not believe I could have in that setting. But God gave me liberty. There's a bunch of people went out of that funeral home knowing that Jesus loves them. Knowing that somebody cares. Romans 5:20. Brother John, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Moreover, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what David found out in Psalm 51? Listen to me carefully. David found out that he had made a big mess. Beloved, you and I have at times too. Help me tonight, would you please? Ain't you ever made no big mess in your life? You ever been cold? You ever look down in your heart and you know there's something there that don't belong there? But David, he found a God that had a bigger mop than his mess. He could clean it up. You've got people down at the hospital, you know, that are very, very important. You've got the doctors. You've got the nurses. And I can't remember some of them titles. PA, that's a physician's assistant. That's pretty up on the totem pole there. And then you got the people in the labs. But I'm going to tell you something about somebody else you need down at the hospital. That's somebody with a mop and a bucket. Because when people get sick, there'll be messes at times that need to be cleaned up. I'm glad I have a God tonight that specializes in cleaning up messes. David understood that. He understood that offense abounded. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now let me give you this tonight. Can you stay with me about 10 or 15 minutes, or you got to go? Guess what cold I do too. That's why I'm having such a good time, brother. God's a helping me. Let's look at a practice for those who wish to continue to stand in awe. David's got it right now. Ain't nothing between him and his God again. He knows there's a price to pay, but he knows there's a God that's pardoned him. I don't know why it's so hard to get across. There's a fellow today, I forgot the man's name. He introduced himself to me last night. And listen, I'm not throwing any stones. And this man will tell you I wasn't throwing any stones. But several around the tent after the funeral was over, they smoked. And I understand that. My mom and dad smoked. But the man that was helping with the funeral, he was smoking as well, and he didn't seem to be a very old man. I picture him about 40, maybe 42 years old. Now, he might have been drinking that pickle juice like Brother Rose. He might not have been near that old. I don't know. Or might have been older than he looked. But let me say this. I walked over to him, and I said, I was just walking over to him. He said, I know. That's what he said. I know. He put it back there like that. I said, I'm going to say something to you. I said, brother, I'm going to say it in love and in compassion. I said, if you can, ask God to help you. And Brother Steve, God let a tear roll out of my eye. And I told that man, I said, I watched my mom and my dad both drown in their own fluid. I said, it's not pretty. I said, I speak to you in love and compassion. And this is what the man said. He said, that's obvious. Every one of us, beloved, listen, need help. Different areas. Say amen. None of us are perfect. I didn't condemn the man. But I tell you what, it'd be worth the whole ordeal if that man gets help. Amen. There's a practice for those who wish to continue to stand in awe. Let me give it to you like this. In Psalm 139, David, having now gotten right with God, I believe, Brother Steve, he figured out a way to maintain that. You remember in the psalm, in Psalm chapter 4, he talks about being still and communing upon his bed. This might be what came out of him, Brother Ike, when he laid down at night. Search me, O God, and try me. How's it worded there? He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see. Lord, I want you to see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that's everlasting. You know what I believe, friend? Listen to me carefully. I believe David knew where that road had led him, and he didn't want to go down that road again. And I believe he figured out a secret. He said, God, there are going to be times when I can't see it. But there'll never be a time when you can't see it. So what I'm doing, Lord, I'm asking you to show it to me. Because God, if you'll show it to me, I sure want to take care of it before it gets out of hand like it did before. The little foxes will spoil the vine. And tonight, the Word of God said over there, and listen to me carefully, James chapter 4, verse 7. How many's ever heard that verse, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you? How many's ever heard that? How many knows what's before it? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. I'm going to tell you something, Coulter. Standing in awe, you can resist the devil. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. It's a bad mistake for you and I, you or I, to try to resist the devil on our own. Or to resist the flesh on our own. One more passage of Scripture and I'll be done. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8. Owe no man anything but love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, think about David now, think about what we're preaching about. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. He's be guilty of both of them right off the bat. If you read 2 Samuel chapter number 12, you're going to find out where when God pronounced that judgment on him, he said, because you have killed with the sword. He's saying exactly what I said Sunday. David might as well have had the sword in his own hand and taken Uriah's life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. He did that too. He stole another man's wife. Thou shalt not bear false witness. He was lying to Uriah. Same man. Oh, just come on in, you know, enjoy your family. Thou shalt not covet. I just couldn't believe when God showed me this afternoon that he's guilty of everything that's written down right here. Now, I'm not talking about either in that if a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of the whole law. We all know that. But David literally is guilty in 2 Samuel chapter number 11 of everything that's written down in that verse. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going. I'm trying to tell you there's a way, a practice for those who wish to continue to stand in awe. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, that knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. That even fits David. What are you doing up there on the bed in the afternoon while your men are out there on the battlefield? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I'm going somewhere. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Down at the bottom of my notes, I wrote these words. Bathsheba is not the only one who forgot to get dressed that day. David didn't put on the whole armor of God. David didn't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. David did not stand in awe. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and in drunkenness, not chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to see. That's first. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I believe there's a lot of God's people that say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to make provision for the flesh. But don't forget this. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the standing in awe. Saying, God, I can't do it without you, but with you there's nothing I can't do. I can do all things through Christ. Do you remember in Psalm 16, the Bible said, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David is standing in awe. He knows what it is. In Psalm chapter 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's standing in awe. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. David knew both sides. And he said, it's so much better. Stand in awe and sin not. I read this and I'm done. It's only 8:05. The man huddled on a cabin floor. He was slowly freezing to death. I didn't know this. Did you all know that when you're freezing to death, you actually feel warm? I didn't know that. Did anybody know that? Did you? That's that Alaska in you, ain't it, brother? Amen. I didn't know that, Brother Cole, until I read this. Man huddled on the cabin floor and was slowly freezing to death. It was high in the Rockies in the southwestern Alberta. And outside, a blizzard raged. John Elliott had logged miles that day through the deep snows of the mountain passes. As he checked for avalanches and as dusk and exhaustion overcame him, he decided to hole up. He made it wearily to the cabin, but somewhat dazed with fatigue. He did not light a fire or remove his wet clothing. As the blizzard blasted through the cracks in the old cabin walls, the sleeping forest ranger sank into oblivion, paralyzed by the pleasures of the stormy, icy caress. Suddenly, however, his dog sprang into action, and with unrelenting whines, he finally managed to rouse up his near-comatose friend. The dog was John's constant companion, a Saint Bernard. They're pretty dogs, aren't they? One of a long line of dogs famous for their heroics in time of crisis. If that dog hadn't been with me, I'd be dead today, John Elliott said. He said, when you're freezing to death, you actually feel warm all over and don't wake up because it feels too good. This moving story illustrates the spiritual condition of many people today. They're cold spiritually and sadly are oblivious to their true condition. Thank God for all the ways. I want to say thank God for all the ways in which He arouses such sleepers. He sends His messengers to nudge them awake. Sometimes the methods used to awaken them are drastic, but always for their good. Let us not imagine that because He shakes us, He therefore hates us. Let me read that again. Let us not therefore imagine because He shakes us, He therefore hates us. You remember the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth betimes. He awakens us from lethargy because He loves us. He wants to save us from an eternal death. When we are ready to perish, He is ready to save. I say hallelujah. May God help us to stand in awe. How many's glad you come tonight? Did it make any sense tonight? I promise you this, there's a price to be paid if we don't stand in awe. I promise you this, if we get messed up with God, there's a pardon that He offers. And I promise you this, you're looking at a preacher that desires tonight to practice what it takes, that I might breathe my last breath. Someone said, Brother John, I can't remember who told me this, said, Brother Jack carried that flower in off the porch and said, well, looky there. Looky there. Did he say that sometimes when he was preaching? That's what I understand. Did he say, looky there? Somebody help me. I want to tell you something right now. I don't want to be taken off guard. I don't want to be taken by surprise when it comes my time to leave this world. I want all of you to be looking at Him and standing in awe of Him that loved me, gave Himself for me. Thank you for coming tonight.